I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Back to A Woman's View on KSL News Radio. So pleased to have Rhonda Menlove with me this week, former state representative and professor and administrator from Utah State University. Sarah Hawks is with me, who recently graduated in international humanitarian law from the National University of Ireland after graduating with a degree in Russian from BYU. She now works as an advocate for epilepsy awareness and first aid education. And Kristen Sokol is here. She is a professional dating coach. Her website, kristensokol.com. I'm sure you all have been paying attention, as the nation has, to these migrants who the governors of Texas and Florida are sending to northern cities with Democrat mayors. And pretty, you know, trying to say, look, you know, it's all right to be a sanctuary city, but try having a few migrants in your city. And just sending, the governor of Florida even chartered a plane and flew them to Massachusetts. It's as you watch what's going on, realizing that there is a crisis again at the border with huge numbers of migrants, particularly from, I think it's from Venezuela, who are trying to come across the border. What do you see, and what's your opinion of this move? Kristen, may I start with you?
You know, immigration is a problem, and it cannot be left to Florida and Texas to fend alone. I am a pro-immigrant person. If we can't permit legal immigration, we're going to have these problems. And, you know, just having them be only in Florida or, you know, these border states, it's too easy for it to be out of sight, out of mind, and thus a lower priority on the scale. So honestly, I can't believe it's taken these governors this long to pull a stunt like this. It makes sense to me that this is what we do with refugees. We don't send them to you know, one or two places. We distribute these refugees, and that's how we can support them. So I hope that this move will bring elected officials to the table to start making a way. And you just, in my mind, I can't understand why amidst a labor shortage, you know, that we are in, we have people showing up who want to work. I don't know why we would try and lock them out. I don't know why we can't devise a way to track them and give them some kind of legal status to fill a problem that we're having and to fulfill a lifelong dream for them and be able to give them a hand up to be able to support themselves and their families in this way.
What do you think, Sarah?
I have a lot of thoughts on this. I love the Hispanic community. My mom grew up in South America and in Mexico. And even though I don't have any of that blood myself, I grew up with a lot of those food, culture, stuff like that. And these people are hard workers. They're taking the jobs that we don't want. So the fact that we look down on them for doing all of like the really basic things that we need in our society and for working so hard, I can't stand that we look down on them for that. And there are a lot of times that they're being taken advantage of. Having studied humanitarian law for so long, one of the biggest things that we talk about and what I did my entire thesis on was centered around human trafficking. And so it left me a very, very bad taste in my mouth when I was going through and reading about the situation, because the way that they relocated them had too many similarities. I did not like it. The way that they told them they were going to Boston or DC, but then put them in somewhere else, or gave them brochures of what it's going to be like, but then they actually get there and the promises aren't kept. I think it was a really, I mean, maybe the program itself, like there are other programs, like my sister was looking at relocating to Virginia, West Virginia, because they have more place that they're trying to grow the cities. And so they're offering like people come work here, we'll offer you a stipend, and they're trying to get people there. So why aren't we taking advantage of this overpopulation and using those people to relocate where they need to grow?
We need you in charge. They need to hear exactly what you just said and all of that wisdom. So, and I wonder, Rhonda, what will it take to get Congress to act on this issue that all of America seems to want them to act on, but they are frozen on?
I don't know, Amanda. That's a great question, because there's a systematic method for bringing refugees to the country. And so many are allocated. States say how many they can take. There's infrastructure in place within state government and nonprofit organizations that welcomes them and helps them orient into the community, find housing and employment. So I'm surprised that we're not using that kind of system. And I agree with Sarah that we're in a worker shortage. We're also in a declining population. Our country is declining. I think we would be welcoming these people, clearing them through some process, helping them move legitimately to some location. I think relocation is a great idea, but with support so that they're able to be supported.
Yes.
And have an infrastructure around them.
Right, let the cities know, please, Sarah.
Sorry. But at the base of it, our country is a country of immigrants. I mean, all of our ancestors, we came to this continent for refuge. So why are we not keeping that spirit and allowing other people of ethnicities of other countries to come and have the exact same opportunities that we pride ourselves for our ancestors doing and fighting for?
It feels like fear, Sarah. What I feel coming from people who say we do, you know, keep those immigrants out, keep those migrants out, and trying to make them look like scary, dangerous people when they're not. What I hear in those words is fear. I want to have mine, and if they come, they'll take mine. There's not enough for everyone, and I want to have mine. And they seem to be ignoring the factual point that you made, Rhonda, which is that our population is declining, and the one that all three of you have made about how we need more workers. If we look at it from that position, at some future point in time, we may have to have a different policy, but right now, it makes zero factual sense to not, in fact, facilitate and welcome more people coming to the country.
I think another problem right now is we're in the middle of an election. And I think this was maybe someone used the word stunt. It was a way to appeal to a certain constituency. And I'm hopeful that after we're through the election, people can sit down and be reasonable about helping relocate and find employment. We live in Garden City. There we have a shortage of employment, and we wanted to have our some work done on our house. There were a couple guys from Mexico that were just up here, and multiple people hired them. So maybe we can have a reasonable discussion.
I wish we had more time. I love having you on, ladies. Please all come back and see me again.
Yes, please.
Love to.
Thanks, Amanda.
Oh, I love it. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week on A Woman's View.